Welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. We all need a reliable source of energy to power our homes and businesses. Here in New Mexico, many of us get our power from Public Service Company of New Mexico, or PNM. And PNM has been in the news recently. The Public Regulation Commission is considering PNM's plan to shut down two units at the San Juan Generating Station. The PRC voted yesterday to delay a decision on the San Juan Generating Station. And the PRC also recently rejected a separate request from PNM on a rate hike for residential customers. We're going to get into that more in just a moment, but today we want to focus on the cost of energy, including how both of these cases could impact you. I'm joined in studio today by Ryan Baca, a spokesperson for PNM. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Also, Julian Singer Corbin, a spokesperson for Positive Energy Solar. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Sarah.
We also have Vicente Garcia, director of Juntos, a grassroots organizing group working with Latino families in New Mexico on issues related to energy and the environment. Thanks for being here, Vicente.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Ryan, I want to go to you first. Let's talk about the rate increase, the proposed rate increase. Why is PNM seeking higher rates for some customers in New Mexico?
Well, we've made investments of over $585 million in the system that serves our customers. From everything from the distribution system that brings power into your home, to new solar plants, to a new gas plant, making sure that we have reliable service is very important in New Mexico, and it's important to all of our customers. And that rate increase that we've asked for is to pay for the upgrades and the infrastructure investments that we've made that are already in use.
And Vicente, tell us, your group is concerned about that rate increase. What would that mean for low-income communities that you work with?
Yes, I think we're very concerned about the rate increases. And in fact, that's the biggest thing we get when we do door-to-door community organizing in Latino communities. What we hear back is that people are concerned about their rates. And with PNM, they've requested a rate increase five times since 2008 from the Public Regulation Commission. So it's just the rates keep going up, and we're concerned that people are not going to be able to afford their energy.
Actually, PNM, yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's not actually accurate. We had our first rate increase about 5 years ago, and that was the first rate increase that we requested in more than 20 years. And that rate increase was phased in. It was one request, and it was phased in. And this is our second rate increase request that we've had since then. So that's two rate increase requests in about 25 years.
Now, so what changed from 5 years ago? Did you find that there were more costs, additional costs? Was there something different?
There were a lot of changes, but basically what happened is we had a period of time where we agreed with the PRC to not raise rates for a certain period of time. And that time expired, and we got to the point where the cost of energy was more expensive, and the cost of copper wire, for example, is more expensive, and the cost of making sure that we can provide reliable power to our customers became more expensive. And so we also needed to invest more in solar. We needed to invest more in alternative energies and make a lot of changes. We can all agree that there's been a lot of changes in the last 20 years. A lot of things have gone up. And the price of electricity has actually gone up at a much lower rate than any other, you know, good or service. Look at gasoline or food or transportation or any of those things. The cost of electricity has risen at a much lower rate here in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the cost of energy today. You are welcome to join the conversation. Ryan Baca from PNM just mentioned alternative energy, the need to pay for that. We asked on social media if our listeners would be willing to pay more for renewable energy if they knew it was coming from that source. We got some answers. No, it's inevitable. I won't pay for what's inevitable. Another Twitter answer, the initial investment is minimal. We should tap limitless energy, convert existing grids rather than pay for oil, heavy equipment, refinery, and transport costs. You are welcome to join our conversation today. Give us a call in Albuquerque at 277-5866, toll free 877-899-5866. Ryan, can you elaborate a little bit more on the cost of using more solar?
Sure. In response to one of the things that you just said that was a social media comment, the upfront investment is not minimal. we need to bring in that energy from areas. We need new transmission lines or distribution lines to be able to bring that energy from a solar center or a wind center into our homes. And that's not a minimal investment. The other thing is that if you think about your own home, if you were to just take absolutely everything that you had in your own home and take it out and just get rid of all of it and then replace it with all brand new things, that would be much more expensive than replacing what needs to be replaced as you go on. And those are the types of things that PNM is faced with and dealing with. So we have 15, by the end of this year, we'll have 15 solar centers that PNM owns and operates that serves our customers. And that represents 1 million solar panels with a $270 million investment in solar here in New Mexico.
Julian, let's get you into the conversation here. You work with residential customers. What are you looking at right now for the cost and what that means for people who might want to put solar units on their house?
Well, for the most part, distributed generation, which is photovoltaics, solar, which is what Positive Energy installs for both residential and commercial customers, is extremely cost effective. Right now, there are federal and state level income tax credits that make it so that a solar array is as affordable as anyone's energy coming from the utility, and PNM is kind enough to allow customers to interconnect with their grid. So when you're not producing or you're not using the energy that you're producing on your roof, you're feeding that back into the grid and it's being used by your immediate community. This type of distributed generation is a good idea. I think it's the way that we're going to power our lives in the long run. We have a freestanding building, if you can imagine it, that powers itself. And we know, like your friend on Twitter just said, we know that that's the future. We know that that's where we're all headed. And when we buy into that is really the question and the concern that Positive Energy has for New Mexico.
Ryan, PNM is seeking a new fee for solar customers as part of that rate increase. First of all, tell us, is PNM going to refile the rate request with the PRC this summer?
I don't know that that decision has been made yet, exactly what step we're going to take next. But as far as the fee is concerned, that was part of our rate request proposal. And that fee was $6 per kW. And I'm actually a solar PV owner myself. I have 20 solar panels on my home. I spent a significant upfront investment of well over $30,000 to put that system into my home. And that $6 per kW, what that fee is designed to do is it's designed to help cover the costs or a small portion of the costs that I, as a solar PV owner, incur. Like, I use the wires and the poles to sell energy back. I use the wires and the poles and the journeymen and the call center and the meter readers and all of those folks. I use them all every month to at all night. I pull power from PNM at night. So that $6 is to go pay for those types of services that I use as a solar PV owner but don't have currently on my bill.
Julian, what would a fee mean for your customers?
I think it would mean a reduction in the attractiveness of the investment in solar. And you know, Ryan, as a PV owner, after that initial, anywhere from $20,000 to $50,000 investment, 40% of that price tag came back to you in the form of income tax credits, which is awesome. It makes that investment much lower. Also, the energy that you're producing as a photovoltaic provider is being sold to your immediate neighbors at PNM's current rates. And so I think that money that PNM's getting by not having to produce those kilowatt hours is a really important part of this equation. And I don't know if those costs have really been looked into or justified in a public arena. I think that I would love to see some more investigation, a little bit more open conversation about what the real costs of converting to solar is. I know that recently the PRC allowed PNM to consider the cost of the infrastructure changes as part of the cost of investing in renewables as part of their power replacement plan. I think that's fair, but I would also say that that decision didn't really define a timeline for which that cost is to be taken into consideration. Now solar panels have a 30-plus year life. They're a very good technology. We have American-made solar panels that are at the forefront, state-of-the-art, and they're very affordable to everyone, I think that that investment could be looked at a little bit more closely.
Well, and that's a great point that you're talking about as far as the energy being sold to neighbors at PNM's retail rate. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's true. The energy being generated, some of it might be sold to a neighbor or, you know, put back onto the grid and sold at a retail rate. But the thing to remember also is that PNM is actually paying the person who's generating it, in a lot of cases, above a retail rate. So whatever PNM is selling that kilowatt hour for to a neighbor, oftentimes they're taking a loss on it because they've paid an even higher price to the person generating it.
Julian, do you find that true in your work?
Not typically. Right now, PNM pays 2.5 cents per kilowatt hour generated to any customer that signs up for a REC agreement right now, a renewable energy certificate agreement. And I think that your base rate for the first 450 kilowatt hours is 9 cents. And then after that, it goes up to 11.9 cents. And after that, it goes up to 13 in some sense. So if the energy you're using is in the higher tier, you're looking at close to five times what you paid the customer.
But when that program started in 2006, it was paying 14 cents a kilowatt hour. So there are folks that are in much longer contracts than probably you've seen in your last couple of years here in New Mexico, that are in longer contracts at a much higher rate, because there's some history there.
Constantly evolving. Let's go to some callers now. We have Jason in Santa Fe. Jason, what do you want to add to the conversation?
Well, a comment, more or less, two of them maybe. I've been also in the solar industry and actually worked with Positive Energy, and I think they do a lot of great work. But what's the cost for people? Like, I'd be more than willing to pay more for a renewable sourced energy of any kind rather than see more coal and fracking and such happen. Because the cost to me is, what's the cost of the planet versus what's out of my pocket? And that's more important. And I think a lot of people may agree with that, but it's a matter of education of how can we really focus on getting people to recognize where the real importance is. It's not about return on investment. It's about return on future life.
Environment, that's an important point. Thanks, Jason, for your call. Let's go next to CJ in Tejedas. CJ, what do you want to add?
Good morning. I have a question for the PNM representative. She's mentioned how important reliability is, and I've been paying for PNM for decades, yet the reliability is such still that at my location in Tejeras, I woke up this morning without power, which could potentially make me late for an interview. I don't understand how, if we keep paying for rate increases and they keep doing upgrades, there was no significant weather last night. Why is the energy still not reliable?
Ryan, do you want to respond to that?
Absolutely. And CJ, I apologize to hear that you had a power outage this morning. I know that that's never convenient. In the East Mountains, we do see more power outages than we do in other areas. And that's a lot because of the terrain. That's a lot because of the wildlife. That's a lot because of the trees and things like that. The East Mountains is also on what's called a lateral line. And a lateral line is different than a loop system. And a lateral line works like those old Christmas lights that we used to have, where you lose one Christmas light and the whole string goes out. We've taken a lot of steps in the East Mountains to try to mitigate power outages. We've done some extensive bird guarding. We've done some extensive upgrades to lines out there. But we absolutely understand that there are still issues. And part of that comes with the area and the terrain and the inability to loop that system and make redundancies because of the area.
We're going to pick up on that again in just a moment. We're going to go to break now, but you can call in and join our conversation today. We're talking about the cost of energy. We have Ryan Baca with us from PNM, also Julian Singer Corbin from Positive Energy Solar, and Vicente Garcia from Juntos. The number to call, 277-5866. Again, that's 277-5866.
Edible Arrangements at 4770 Montgomery Boulevard Northeast in Albuquerque offers fresh fruit bouquets and chocolate-dipped fruit for any occasion. EdibleArrangements.com or 505-888-0100. Edible Arrangements is a valued supporter of KUNM.
Meet the World, July 10th, 11th, and 12th at the International Folk Art Market Santa Fe, featuring over 150 master folk artists from around the world. Meet the artists, enjoy music, food, and shop with a cause. Tickets are limited. Details at folkartalliance.org.
Don't miss electrifying flamenco artists grace Festival Flamenco Internacional de Albuquerque, June 7th through 13th, kicking off with New Mexico True Fiesta de Apertura, an outdoor no-ticket-needed event, featuring acclaimed flamenco singer Montse Cortez, June 7th. Bring the whole family and celebrate 28 years of Festival Flamenco, a week of thrilling workshops and performances. Tickets and info at ffi28.org. A message from the tax-exempt National Institute of Flamenco.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. We're talking about the cost of energy in New Mexico today. The number to call is 277-5866 or toll-free 877-899-5866. Ryan Baca from PNM, we were just talking about the East Mountains. You were talking about the power lines and why there might be some issues with reliability. Wouldn't putting solar panels on people's houses fix that?
Well, it not necessarily. Because if you have solar panels on your home, like I do, I still experience an outage. If a car hits a transformer outside my home, I have a power outage. And even though it might be beautiful and sunny outside, those solar panels are not going to be pumping anything back into the grid at that particular time, because there's a safety mechanism that shuts them off so that our guys can work on the line safely and not be potentially harmed by electricity coming downstream their way. So no, the short answer to that is that these types of issues, when animals get into equipment or vehicle accidents or trees fall on power lines, solar panels aren't going to solve that issue.
Let's go to a few more callers. We have Vicente on the line from Los Ranchos. Vicente, what do you want to add to the conversation today?
Hello.
Hi, Vicente. What do you want to tell us?
Well, I think that more money has to go into where PNM pays back people who put solar panels on their roofs. I think that they are against distributed solar. They want solar only at big plants that they own, and then they can charge us for. There is a payback program called PERC that's been diminishing since it started. It originally started like 17 cents per kilowatt hour produced on home systems. Now it's down to, I think, 3 cents. Per kilowatt hour, and all that money is already gone. It comes out in two waves from PNM. One was announced in January. All that is already gone for people who put solar systems on their roofs this year. I'm getting ready to put one on, but I have to wait till they release more money in July. And the solar companies I'm talking to are saying that if you don't get your contracts in soon, even that second half of 2015 money is going to be gone. There's so many people waiting in line. We need to have more of that payback from PNM, and we need to continue the solar credits from the state. And that's what's going to solve the problem. But PNM's interest is to have big, large, controlled production where they charge us. Distributed makes the homeowner in charge of their own power, and we need to increase that payback to help that more. As a matter of fact, there should be some sort of fund for the poorest homeowners to get a free installation where they can lease to own and then pay it back, and then once it's paid, it's theirs.
Vicente, we're going to get into some of those things in just a moment. Thank you for bringing up. Those are important points. Ryan, do you want to respond first to that large solar systems versus distributed, which is people having units on their houses?
Sure. And he's absolutely correct that the incentives have decreased. At the same time that the incentives have decreased, the cost of solar panels and solar energy and installation has decreased. So that mirrors the, you know, you start with very high incentives when the cost is very high, and then you start to decrease those as the cost comes down. When we started this program back in 2006, it was a very very new type of program, and we really needed to have high incentives. We've paid out more than $22 million to our renewable energy, our solar PV customers, and we have about 4,800 of those customers. So that incentive has come down along with the price of solar. And he's also right that we do prefer to have larger solar centers, and that's because it's cheaper for us. You have an economy of scales, and so it's much cheaper for us to provide solar energy to our customers at a larger scale than it is to pay pay more than 16, 17 cents for some of those customers, 9 cents in some cases, all the way down to 2 cents. It's more expensive for us to do that than to generate it ourselves.
Vicente Garcia, I want you back in here. You're with Juntos New Mexico. You work with Latino families. Are you hearing from folks that they want PNM to be doing this? They want more of these large-scale solar. Some of the folks you work with may not be able in a financial position to install these units on their houses.
Well, yeah, I think across the board, people just want renewable energy in general. And yes, I think, yeah, people, there may be limits from people being able to afford installing solar panels on their houses. But I think that we have to remove those barriers. I think that we have to really view energy as energy for all. And I think it's great that there's all these tax credits for solar. I think there's great that there's increasingly more and more programs. And I'm really, and at the end of the day, I think really what people care about is, one, having more control over their energy. Two, having the energy be affordable. And really what I want to drive home, what we really work on is having the energy be clean. And in terms of the cost of energy that doesn't get talked about, that's the real issue, because there's all these externalized costs which you can't see from coal-fired power plants and from nuclear plants that cause things like cancer, that cause things like respiratory problems. And those are the real costs. The San Juan Generating Station had over $225 million in health costs just for operating it, and in terms of the impact of asthma and heart attacks that are associated with it. So I think that's what we're really seeing. That's what people really care about, and they want to see a transition. And I think now it's a beautiful time because we are at that transition moment.
Julian, our caller just mentioned incentives for people, maybe for low-income folks to put solar panels on their houses. Is that possible right now?
Absolutely. Solar power is less expensive than paying your utility for power in just about every state in the union. The incentives that are in place from the tax credits, if you pay income taxes, you're going to get a nice big discount on your system. And there are great financing programs in place from tons of local banking entities to make it so that your average person who doesn't have $30,000 in the bank or in a big suitcase full of money under their bed, that person can invest in solar power just by zero money down, and you can take on a monthly payment that was at or below what your electric bill used to be. And I'm so thrilled that we had two callers call and say that one of them was a Positive Energy customer, and one of them said he's about to go solar soon. I hear that all the time. People are fully investing in this. Solar power has the blessing of the people in New Mexico, and they want to see that same enthusiasm from their utility. I also agree with Ryan that utility scale solar is very important to providing enough power to make solar a viable utility for us, a viable way of producing energy. However, our distributed generation customers are very important too.
Now, do people still need really good credit to get a loan? You're talking about a monthly payment, but that means a loan, and some people may not have great credit.
Yeah, you know, I was reading the other day that the average credit score for a New Mexican is around 650, and that is right around where the financing begins. It's right around the bottom tier for a lot of the financing programs, and I see it pencil out really well. As a matter of fact, I've run this calculation for cost for hundreds of homeowners over the last few years. Mm-hmm. I see that without the tax credits and without the incentives from PNM, solar is still affordable. It's just a matter of how, the scale of time that you look at it. If you're going to live in your home for 10 years, then I think you've got a really good investment in front of you.
Vicente, what about renters? Are they left out of this conversation about putting panels on a house?
No, actually, I think that they're not. And that's the biggest thing that we work to combat, because I think, for us at Juntos, we're really about the bigger picture, about fighting the energy battle for the long haul, so that doesn't leave renters out of the picture. They may not be able to have solar panels on their house, but they can fight for clean energy. They can go to the PRC and tell them that they want more regulations for clean energy. And so it doesn't leave them out of the conversation. I think we shouldn't think about it like that. I think everybody is involved in this.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Phil south of Santa Fe. Phil, you have a question for us today.
Good morning. I was going to say my electricity doesn't go out when a car hits the power pole. I've been off grid for 34 years, and it works. My first four panels were made by Exxon. But anyway, my question is, PNM says that it costs them extra to maintain the lines for all these PV customers, and that's why they want to charge everybody a rate. I don't understand how putting electricity into the line can add any more cost to the maintenance of the line. If there wasn't a single PV attached, they would have exactly the same maintenance. And, it would take, I can't imagine how many houses with solar panels it would take to put a load on the line.
Ryan?
And that's my question.
Thanks for your call today. Phil, Ryan, can you respond to that?
Phil, I'm so glad that you asked that question. First of all, let me address your power outage comment. If you've been off-grid, then you're not connected to PNM. If you're completely off-grid, then you don't have anything to do with our distribution system, and so you're on your own. So that's why you wouldn't be impacted by a power outage. But to answer your question about the costs associated with it, it's not that there's more costs because people install solar PV panels. It's that those costs that are associated with maintaining the lines and making sure that we've got journeymen who can climb up a pole in the middle of a storm, making sure that we've got call center representatives and meter readers and billing folks and all of those fixed costs that don't change every month. It's about the fact that because you and I have solar PV panels, we're no longer paying for a per kilowatt hour charge. We're not paying for the energy that we're using. And those costs are built into our per kilowatt hour charge. And since you and I, Phil, aren't paying those anymore, then we're also not contributing to the costs that serves all of those solar PV customers at night. I had 3 days in January where my solar panels were covered with snow. And as tempting as it was to go out on the roof and brush them off with a broom, I didn't have the courage to do that. I was very grateful that I still had all of the things that ran on electricity because I was pulling energy from PNM all day. We were still warm and we still had popcorn to pop and plenty of other ways that we used electricity.
Let's go now to Cynthia in Albuquerque. Cynthia, what do you want to add?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just had a comment that was originally in response to an earlier comment, but it's just been addressed again by the commenters now as to whether or not the utility should be entitled to charge an access fee for the costs that they incur associated with solar systems still using the grid when they need it. There have been at least 8 states in the United States whose utility commissions have commissioned studies on just that subject, whether or not distributed generation is a drain on the grid or is a benefit to the grid. And most of the studies have come out recognizing that there's a benefit to the grid. And the reason is numerous reasons. Of course, there's extra power during peak hours. And if you didn't have the extra power from solar systems during peak usage hours, which is midday, oftentimes, certainly in our climate, then the utility would have to be using electricity from some other generated source. And a very important savings to the utility and benefit to the grid is the fact that, well, and this is actually more related to the utility savings, every system that's on a rooftop is a cost of capital investment that the utility no longer has to make. Utility is basically enjoying great costs in avoided costs associated with building out more plant and maintaining the plant and providing reserve capacity that they are required by law to provide, like a 10% reserve. And in fact, there have been cases at the PRC that in which PNM has acknowledged that it has enjoy the benefit from distributed generation in terms of avoid capacity costs and reserve costs. So rather than just relying on this anecdotal information you're hearing about, I'm so glad I have this extra service and I'm glad to pay for it, that's really anecdotal. What you need to do is go to the studies, and they are numerous, and the Renewable Energy Industry Association here in town has information on that. They can give you copies of the studies. And you can also just probably find on the Internet. I know the states of California, Arizona, Vermont, Mississippi. Mississippi found a net benefit to their grid from the use of distributed generation power. So there's really quite a lot of information out there, and it's all very recent. Like within the past 3 or 4 years, these studies have been done, and they're
Cynthia?
Very analytical. They've been done by, you know, contractors who are...
Cynthia, that's a great point. Thank you so much for calling in and encouraging folks to get out and look at this more, especially if they care about this issue, the cost of energy, also moving to solar and renewable sources from coal. Our focus today on the KUNM Call-In Show is the cost of energy. Is there something you'd like to add to the conversation, something new you haven't heard yet today, or a question you have? Join us by calling 277-5866. Again, that's 277-5866. We have a question on the line. Alex from Las Vegas, what's your question?
Yes. I had already made the conscious decision to make the attempt to switch over to solar for the midday peak hours, and then wind generated for times when the sun isn't so strong, and then, of course, the small backup generator. I was wondering if I could ask the representative two questions. One, what would be your argument to try to get me back onto the grid? And two, what about the rumors here in Las Vegas that PNM is trying to sell out entire blocks and make the homeowners sign papers stating that nobody wants solar panels on their roof? It was a local article in the newspaper.
Alex, I haven't heard anything like that. And to be completely honest with you, Alex, I wouldn't try to convince you to come back onto the grid. That's not something that, you know, I would feel like I need to change your mind. I think one of the things that's very important to us at PNM is our customers and listening to our customers. And we absolutely understand that there are varying opinions. We serve a very diverse population of folks. Some people have the very same beliefs that, you know, you have and Vicente has, and some people have the opposite, and we serve them all. And so what we try to do is strike a balance, and that's what we're always trying to do. We have to balance the fact that we have low-income customers who cannot afford certain things, and we have to balance that with the fact that we need to be environmentally responsible, and also balance that with the fact that we all really like electricity and we'd like to make sure that we have it. So that's what we try to do here at PNM is strike that balance. So I wouldn't try to bring you back to the grid if that's not where you wanted to be.
Julian, do you have customers coming in and saying, I want to be totally off the grid on my own?
All the time. Yeah. A lot of people, you know, this is a big, complicated issue. And I don't think that there are any evil intentions out there from any parties involved. The real thing here is that people want to feel like they're informed. They want to feel like they're a part of this decision. And it's great to hear that PNM really respects the views and opinions of their customers and the ratepayers. People come in and ask, can I go completely off the grid all the time? The answer is yes. And it's a little bit expensive. And being allowed to interconnect with PNM's grid is great. It's sort of a large, reliable battery for all of us to use. So yes, people ask me that question all the time. And I think right now I'm getting a lot of concern from people about this rate case. People are asking, they're looking to their solar installers and designers, people who are industry professionals, for some guidance in where can I go to get good information about this? What can I think and feel? And what I tell people is, you know, PNM needs more money to be able to keep growing and changing with New Mexico so that they can keep their grid up to date, state of the art, reliable, and can keep working on the reliability issues that they have in certain parts of the state. And so they're asking for a little bit more money. That money is going to come from us. It's going to come from the ratepayers. And so I think it would be great if we had our opinions listened to a little bit more.
We'll get into that more in just a moment. We're going to a break. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. Our focus today is the cost of energy. You're welcome to join our conversation today by calling 277-5866. You can also post your comments on Facebook or send us a tweet to KUNM News.
If you haven't given to KUNM recently, we need you now. Watch your mail with 2,500 reasons why you should open the envelope, plus one, we miss you. Find out what just a $20 donation will do. If you've never given to KUNM, you won't get a mailing, but you can still help at KUNM.org. Click Support KUNM. Donating gives you five chances to win a $500 portrait gift certificate from Kim Ju Photography, or you can enter by sending an email to prizes at KUNM.org.
Next time on Peace Talks Radio, how loneliness and social isolation can lead to poor health and even outwardly aggressive acts.
The idea that loneliness, as I said, hijacks the brain is something that one has to recognize, that when you're lonely, you behave in ways that you're not even aware of that are possibly turning people away.
And also, when being alone is the perfect path. That's next time on Peace Talks Radio, a series on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. Friday morning at 8 on KUNM.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. I'd like to go now to Alan in Albuquerque. Alan, what do you want to add to our conversation about the cost of energy?
Well, I think it's time to invoke the S word. S is in Sam. Socialism. I think that the way we should be moving in quickly in that direction is it's like the railroad system. You know, they're tearing it down to nothing. When it's obviously the best way to, you know, to carry people and goods on train. We used to have the best train system in the world. And so for me, the measure is not is serving the people, okay, serving all the people. And if you're poor, you still get the service. You don't get cut off because you're poor. It should be a right of the people in our country and in the state to have electricity, and go full bolt bore obviously for alternative uses, so that we don't destroy the earth and the air and the water. Anyway, my point is, it should be a right. You know, it should be a right to be able to have electricity. If you can't pay one penny of the bill, that's not why you don't, you know, you get it because you're there.
Alan, thanks for calling in and sharing that perspective today. Ryan, that also makes me think about an email question that we got. Cliff says he'd be willing to pay more for renewables, but he doesn't want it to go to salaries for PNM executives. Lots of people have questions about compensation. They hear that executives are getting bonuses, and yet there's a rate request to increase people's rates.
Okay, I'd love to talk about that. First, I want to address the whole I'd like to pay more for renewable. We've talked a lot this morning about choice and customer choice and things that customers can do in their own. And I'd like to point out that PNM has the PNM Sky Blue program. So if you want to push PNM to do more renewables, then I really encourage you to sign up for the PNM Sky Blue program. That program is designed to increase and push PNM to do more renewables. That program is both wind and solar. And so as we fill up the subscription to that program, then we are forced to build and do even more renewable stuff. And that's a very affordable amount. You can sign up for a percentage of your usage to come from renewables, or you can sign up at a flat rate as little as $1.70 more a month to push PNM to do even more. And then on the topic of executive pay and executive compensation, I think it's very important to realize that our executives, first and foremost, their pay is, for the most part, not included in PNM rates. We have a holding company. We have companies in Texas, and that pay comes from our companies in Texas and from that holding company. And so a very small percentage of compensation is in PNM rates. The other thing to keep in mind is that absolutely not one penny of incentive pay or bonuses for any of our executives comes from PNM rates, not one penny. We need to make sure that we are attracting and retaining a really good team that serves 500,000 customers within New Mexico. And their job is very large. They're responsible for providing reliable power to 500,000 customers here in New Mexico. And so making sure that they are compensated at a level that is competitive is important, because we want the right folks to be able to do that job. But I also want to make sure that you all know that their median salary, or their salaries, are in line with the median salaries of companies like ours, utilities across the nation like ours. They're paid either at that median or below of companies of like size. And if we look at the perspective of the amount that PNM has spent investing in serving our customers just in the last few years, I mentioned it was $585 million. The amount of executive pay that's in rates is $1 million. That's really a very small percentage when you're talking about the amount of capital investment and things that come into serving our customers. And let's say we stopped paying all of our executives tomorrow, it's not going to help that $585 million investment that needs to happen.
Let's go back to the phone lines now. We have Sal in Albuquerque. Sal, what's your comment?
Thank you very much. Well, just to follow up on the CEO thing, I think throughout America, the CEO pay is just a sin, and the top 1% are raping the bottom 99%. But besides that, so I don't buy anything that was just said. Point is, I've had solar panels on my roof for 4 years. I think I'm getting 11 cents per kilowatt hour, and it's been going down and down and down, rather than encourage people by raising that rate so the people are encouraged to get solar, and raising that would get more people online, and then it would be mass, you know, it would draw people to solar more than versus in 5 years it's going to be you're going to get 1 cent per kilowatt hour. And I find PNM should step up to the plate and encourage people rather than discourage and lower the rates and fight that. And that's the simple bottom line. And then on the next, one last thing is, the prices I got, when I have a 2,200-square-foot house, I have 7 panels on the roof, and it covers most of the cost. I got prices from $8,000, $12,000 to $16,000 here in Albuquerque, and that's a sin that companies are just trying to rape people, versus there should be some control, and it should be right online on PNM saying, hey, here's CST, here's Active Solar, here's the prices. People should know. It should be clear and transparent. And it isn't, and people are getting raped. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call today, Sal. Let's go now to Amanda in Española. Amanda, what do you want to add to the conversation?
Hi. I was calling to comment on the price that is always quoted for solar installation. I installed solar power and am completely off the grid about 3 years ago, and it was, for absolutely everything, it was $6,000. If I wanted to double my power, which would be enough to power probably 4 households, it would probably be about $8,000. I don't understand where people get off quoting people $20,000 more than that for solar power. I have proof that it was only $6,000, and my partner and I did all the installation ourselves, which people can do. If we had hired a electrician, it probably would be $1,000 more. So nowhere over 10 grand should ever be quoted for total solar power and total self-sufficiency being off the grid.
Yeah. There's definitely, seems like two different kind of folks today. Those who are totally off the grid, those who are connecting to the grid. Julian, is there that much of a cost difference between folks who install it themselves and go completely off the grid versus those who hook up and go through using PNM still as the access point?
Solar power has a range of technologies. It's just like anything. There's a lot of ways to invest in it, like a car. You can get a Ford Fiesta, or you can go ahead and get a Toyota Prius, and they've got different prices, right? And you have to be okay with maybe replacing that Fiesta a little bit more often and making that investment more times throughout your life as a customer. And I think that there's technologies like that out there today. A lot of solar panels are manufactured in factories in China and in Korea, and then they're imported into the United States and sold for a very cheap price. And this is what I call grandpa's solar. This is a technology that's been around for decades and decades and decades, and we haven't changed it much. There's also state-of-the-art technologies that are producing much more power per square foot, are able to power larger homes and businesses with increasing electric demands, and those cost a little bit more. And so I don't know where the caller got her solar array. $6,000 sounds a little on the cheap side to me, just knowing the infrastructure that goes into needing a battery backup array for a home. But there are, you know, you can install your own solar panels if you are a GB98 and an EE98. You have your electrical contractor's license in New Mexico.
Lots of options for people. Our focus today is the cost of energy. You have an email comment, Ryan Baca from PNM. I'd like to point this one to you. New Energy Economy has proposed a plan for PNM with more solar and wind. They say it's cheaper in the long run than coal, nuclear, and natural gas. What's PNM's response?
Well, my first response was I've heard a lot about New Energy Economy's plan. Unfortunately, nobody's ever seen it. It's not been produced. They haven't provided it. And so without being able to see it and evaluate it, it's really hard to be able to determine whether or not it is cheaper. Our plan has gone in front of the PRC. It's been cross-examined. It's transparent. Anybody can go in and look at it. It's public. It's part of a very public process. But we have not seen anything produced from New Energy Economy that that supports any of the claims that they say that they have a plan that's cheaper or better.
Actually, I don't think that's true. I mean, I've been at many of the both the PRC hearings and the city council hearings, and have heard the presentation by David Van Winkle, the technical expert at New Energy Economy, and has presented all the information from New Energy Economy's plan. And I think it's very stable. And then on the opposite side for PNM, I don't think we have seen the same level of transparency, especially with the coal contracts in the recent PRC hearing. There is talk about that PNM is getting more coal, but there hasn't been any transparency in how much that coal is costing, and nobody's been able to see those contracts. So from our experience, I think we're seeing less transparency on the PNM side.
That was Vicente Garcia from Juntos. Ryan Baca from PNM.
Well, our plan has been cross-examined, like I said, by even New Energy Economy. But the plan that has continued to be referred to, all we get is some numbers here and there. And there's no supporting documentation. There's no information about where that comes from. It's not legitimate. And so, unfortunately, the New Energy Economy plan remains to be seen at this point. And I certainly understand, Vicente, where you're coming from as far as there are confidential aspects of the coal contract, and I certainly understand that you have concerns in that realm. And there are things that are not available for the public when you do business for certain things. When you're dealing with 9 owners at a plant, there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of things that are going on. But we understand we've got some work to do still, and we have some coal contract things to present, and I certainly understand that. But we have had an extremely public, extremely transparent process. I mean, customers and advocates and folks, all folks can go and deal with seeing the information, become party to the case, listen to the PRC hearings, all of that, that it's all been available.
We have time for just a few more callers. We need people to be very brief. But Steve in Albuquerque, what's your question today?
Yeah, hi. When you burn coal, you produce all kinds of mercury and cadmium and local air pollution and ozone, and all that stuff has costs. You can't eat the fish from the rivers because of it. You can't breathe the air, or if you have COPD or asthma, it sends you to the emergency department. There's all kinds of particulates that cause heart attacks. And these are all costs that don't seem to be getting rolled into the price that we pay for our electricity. Does PNM model all these costs? And I just want to point out that the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, just did a recent study that showed that when you do incorporate all these costs worldwide, the subsidies to the power industry, mainly coal and other fossil fuels, run into the trillions and trillions of dollars every year. And so when we're talking about the cost of energy, does PNM incorporate all the medical costs and health costs and that kind of thing? That's my question.
Well, I'd like to point out that we've made substantial environmental improvements to the San Juan Generating Plant in the last 5 years. The emissions that you're talking about have been reduced significantly. Our plan that we have in front of the PRC right now will reduce 7 emissions even further. And I'd like to point out that when the EPA and the federal plan were presented, the only emission that it would address is NOx. That's it. There would be 4 units of coal still open. But what PNM is asking to do is to reduce the coal in half. Half of the coal being burned at San Juan. The plan that we've put forth addresses 7 emissions as opposed to just that 1 NOx. So we absolutely are working towards making environmental improvements and upgrades, but it also goes back to that balance that I've talked about. We have to make sure that we are doing this in a way that makes sense for New Mexico, that balances the fact that the economy here is important, jobs here are important, reliability and the ability to attract companies to New Mexico are important. But I also want to point out that the American Lung Association just recently came out with a report naming the air in Farmington as the 2nd cleanest in the nation with respect to particulate matter.
Yeah, and actually that's not, a lot of pieces of that report I think were inaccurate, and CVNM, our sister organization, worked really hard to, I think, dispel a lot of those myths. And, I mean, so the city of Farmington did pass the levels of particulate pollution, but I think, but they still did get a grade C for ozone, which does come from smog and from coal-fired power plants. So, I mean, So the air in Farmington and in San Juan County, and actually in Bernalillo County too, got a D for ozone. So I think we're seeing that the air is actually being polluted from these coal-fired power plants. And I think what we're also seeing in our experience is that PNM could do more to hold the balance, specifically in the replacement plan, because I think what Ryan is saying is absolutely correct, and they're shutting down two stacks. But they're reinvesting in other parts of the plant, and they're investing in coal as an option, and including small amounts of solar. But they need to do more, I think.
Vicente, yeah. That's a great point, something I think we could definitely follow up on the call-in show again on air quality and some of those. I want to close up our conversation today, though, on the cost of energy. Vicente, you're with Juntos New Mexico. What do you guys want to see next on cost versus environment? What steps do you think would make a difference for New Mexicans?
Yeah, I mean, I think the steps that would make a huge difference is just getting on the clean energy track, as the whole world is really going towards. And I think we're seeing every day more and more advances in making that possible. Tesla, the company that we all know that makes electric cars, is also investing in batteries for solar power. And as we know, a lot of people say there's intermittency problems. So I think, yeah. The tides are changing, and we need to go towards renewables.
Julian Singer Corbin from Positive Energy Solar, what does your company want to see next? What would make energy affordable and solar appealing for more people?
There's no reason that we can't jump in here and make a really big investment in solar power. We're rich in this resource, and I think that whereas PNM's plan is really transparent, it's also really unpopular. So we'd like to have them really listen to their ratepayers and some other advice and reconsider this.
That's all the time we have today. If you weren't able to call in during the show, go to KUNM.org to find the call-in show page for today. You can post your comments there. Thanks to my guest today, Julian Singer Corbin, spokesperson for Positive Energy Solar, Ryan Baca, spokesperson for PNM, and Vicente Garcia, director of the grassroots organizing group Juntos New Mexico. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Join us again next week.